Go ahead and start, I'm eating.
It's always this back and forth with us.
You're the one got the spread. Go ahead, just start. Go ahead.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of Comaholics. I believe this is episode 7.
Sure, all right, whatever.
We're coming off of the holiday season. It's now well into January. We kind of took a little break there.
It's well into January?
Well, well enough.
It's like the 6th.
It's well into the new year.
Of course, people are going to be listening to this like a week later, but whatever. Sure. It's January 27th for this episode of Comaholics. As we finally get it online. Oh, no, man, we got food here. We got some. We got cheese. We got some summer sausage.
I can talk about the new HQ.
I'm sorry.
The new Comaholics headquarters. Check this place out.
It's still your basement.
But,
there are a few cosmetic changes down here. We got some carpet with some soft padding underneath.
That's right. The walls are finished.
Well, not over there. Posters not behind the washer and dryer.
No,
but
I haven't gotten that far yet.
But yeah, we've got this coating on top of the bricks, so it's not exactly like being in the Dungeon of Cheers.
Right.
Like it used to be. And then we've got some insulation up on the ceiling up there with some posters taped up to it.
Lady Deadpool. Brightest Day on
Canada. We got Shadowland. And yeah, so we got...
We're representing.
We got the chairs. We got the tables. And then there's like this exercise bike, like right in the middle of all this.
Well, I like to work out when I'm in between reading comics. You know, it gets me excited.
You need to figure out how to put one of those things on there, so like as you're riding the bike, you can read the comic. Yeah, but that's not a real. You need like an actual, like a music station.
Well, like a robot, like changes the pages.
Well, even
for me.
Better, even better. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll get right on that.
So I've got my Pabst Blue Ribbon poured into this.
I'm drinking nice little glass. Eye of the Hawk IPA, I believe.
Remember when you used to homebrew?
Just haven't had time. Too busy reading comic books.
Ah, I see. So, but what's on the agenda today?
I was about to say, we decided what our format's going to be. We're going to start off by talking about North 40.
Is that what we're starting off with?
Well, no, we're going to start off with talking about what we've read the last week or two. So what I decided to do is, I have two stacks up on my table where I store all my comics, or my shelf, excuse me. And the left stack is all the stuff to read.
Okay.
The right stack is red that hasn't been put in boxes yet. So I just grabbed a chunk off the top of what hasn't been filed.
Yeah, but that's not what that chunk is.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's that other chunk for later.
Oh, no, that's not. You're right. That's
that is not the right chunk.
Here we go.
There's the chunk.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so... And you are not up to par with anything.
I am not up to speed on a single thing.
Well, just so the viewers might want, or listeners might want to know where I'm at. Let's see, I read Dak and Dark Wolverine. American
Is that 4?
Vampire. Yeah, sorry, 4. American Vampire, the latest,
11?
Issue 10.
10.
Secret Avengers 8, Deadpool 30, X-Files number 6. You didn't read that one yet?
I read X-Files and Deadpool.
Okay. Brightest Day 16. Sorry, folks. Took me a while to catch up on that one. The Flash. The Reverse Flash Rebirth. Number 8. Pretty excited about that one. Millar's Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. This would be the last of this series.
Issue 4, yeah.
Did you read this one?
Nope, not yet.
Superior. Issue 3.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet.
Millar.
Yeah.
The Batman Annual 28 and FF. You read this one, didn't you?
Nope, not yet.
Good grief. All right, so let's talk about the ones you did read. Which ones did you read?
Well, it's the out of your stack there. Deadpool.
You read Deadpool. Okay, and you read X-Files?
Read X-Files.
And...
Well, here, I'll hold this.
What else?
That's... Keep going down. Well, I read that Batman Annual, but I'd rather not talk about that.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty lame. okay, well, let's see. What did you think about X-Files? Because that's like the end of the series.
All right, yes. This is the end of this miniseries. X-Files, 30 Days and Night. I don't know. It's kind of hard to...
Did you like the ending to the series? Did it make sense to you?
It made... Okay, here's the thing.
Because I've got my own opinions, so I want to hear what you have to say about it.
It felt like some of the like vampire characters that were killed off kind of cheap, you know, where it was just like, they're in a greenhouse, so she flips on the UV light switch.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And he catches on fire, and it's like...
The vampires don't like hydroponics, man.
Like first of all, why are you in a greenhouse? Like, why is there this greenhouse in the middle of, like, this trucker town or whatever it is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
They're going to grow their vegetables. How are they going to grow the vegetables?
But there's also this kind of, like, when the story was done, it was just like, okay, well, now we're shutting everything down, we're covering everything up, and you guys are cut free again or whatever. Right. You know, you're back to what you were doing before. And it's just kind of like, okay, I understand that they wanted to end it kind of, you know, with that open ending, so if someone does another series and they don't pay any attention to this, it won't matter, you know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time, it was like...
Took the weight away of the story.
Yeah, it was like, you know, they put them back together to do this series, and then at the end it's just like, oh yeah, well, we're splitting you back
up.
Well, all
the vampires are all huddled up in a barrel.
Well, yeah, but that's 30 Days
and
Night, so that's going to continue on with the 30 Days and Night stuff. But as far as the X-Files guys go, it's just like, oh yeah, okay, well, now it's all done, and go back to whatever your lives were before.
I was disappointed. I felt like this was rushed. This last issue didn't... I don't know. I was disappointed. I was. The first three issues of this series, I was really excited. And then it really started getting into some gore and some detail in the characters. But then, like you said, they added some weight to some of the villains, and then they just dropped them.
Right. Well, and that's also... This is X-Files 30 Days a Night.
Right.
So it has to be true to 30 Days a Night as well as being true to X-Files. It's like... There's the episode of X-Files with Frank Black from Millennium in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an X-Files episode that's not a Millennium episode. So this is really, like, as much as this is an X-Files, this is a 30 Days a Night. You know what I mean? So 30 Days a Night is more explicit, it is more gore, it is more in your face, it is more, I don't want to say action-oriented, but you always have that, you know, the chase and all of that kind of stuff that X-Files doesn't necessarily have.
The white vampire monster.
Well, sure, why wouldn't there be a white vampire monster?
Well, and then they build it up to, like, this white vampire monster, and then... Then they kill him, that's right.
Yeah.
They chop off his head and throw him in the fire. But then... Everything leading up to that...
Well, because it's one of those things where it set up all these expectations, where things kept building and building and building and building and building, and it was just like, oh yeah, whatever, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So... I mean, I enjoyed the series overall. I just didn't like the ending. Just the ending felt like all the energy just left the series.
Okay. So, well, I feel pretty much the same way you do about it.
And again, I understand for editorial reasons why they did it that way, but I'm just not a fan of that.
And if you listen to our previous Comiholics episodes, we've kind of touched on X-Files once or twice, too. So we won't beat that dead horse anymore. Deadpool. It's a Curse of the Mutants tie-in.
Which, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, they went there.
Because I hate Curse of the Mutants.
Yeah, they went there.
Vampires and the X-Men, who cares?
It's glam vam.
But then, luckily, they did it.
Yeah, DP.
They did it the Deadpool style.
They did it the Deadpool way.
So there's a vampire who he calls Dracula, and his friend.
They're all Draculas.
Like, oh, so you're a Dracula. No, I'm just a vampire. So you're a Dracula, and he's a Dracula. And basically, like, the clans of vampires... I haven't been reading Curse of the Mutants.
Right, yeah.
I read, like, the first couple issues of X-Men, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I bought some, too,
done.
And I stopped, too.
And so, So I'm not sure if this ties in really that deep with Curse of the Mutants, but there's one group of vampires and they're at war with another group of vampires.
So they hire
Deadpool. Actually, don't they hire him just to protect them?
Right.
Like, not to go after the other guys, but just to make sure they don't get killed.
Right. At this hospital that's like...
It's like they run this hospital, they save a lot of lives, they do a lot of good work,
and
they just kind of steal a little blood off the side for them to eat.
It's kind of smart. It's kind of a smart concept.
And I like it. I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. Well, it's that same idea, in a sense, as like a Dexter-type character.
Mm-hmm.
He's killing people, but he's killing people who deserve to die. These people, they want to feed on blood, so they run a hospital, they save lives, but then they, you know, keep a little bit of feed for themselves.
And of course, they do the classic Deadpool character in this, where... That's why I like the plain Deadpool title, and I want to get into the other Deadpools later after we finish Merc. But one of the things I like about Deadpool is they stick to the roots of the character. And in this, you know, because he's a very much... shoot them and then ask questions later, you know, chop off their heads and then make their jaws move to answer back when he talks to them. You know, he's crazy. So, I thought this was a, you know, definitely a, you know.
Well, one thing I like about Deadpool is that even when other characters appear in Deadpool, they are still Deadpool world characters.
Right.
So, like, when... The last couple issues when Steve Rogers showed up, and he was Captain America. Well, he's not Captain America, but, you know, he's Steve Rogers. He still would make one-liners, do the little goofball cracks, punch somebody in the face. Stuff which he would not be doing in Secret Avengers, you know what I mean?
No.
So even when it's Deadpool and it's got other characters, they are still Deadpool characters.
And don't let the cover fool you, because they always try to make you throw you off. He doesn't turn into a vampire in this one, thank goodness. But
I really enjoyed this. I didn't think I was kind of pissed off when I saw it was a Curse of the Mutants tie-in, but yeah, I'm okay with it.
Well, they have a way of they're really smart about the way they handle Deadpool in the sense that they're like, okay, you want us to do a Curse of the Mutants tie-in? This is what you're gonna get because this is Deadpool, and that's just
actually,
what Deadpool is.
I almost wonder if Daniel Way, I think, is the writer on this.
Yeah,
I almost wonder if it was him going, oh, Curse of the Mutants? Vampires? Oh, let me do one.
Right.
Or, you know, with some kind of...
Well, and you get Bong Dazzo again, too, and I love that first name, Bong Dazzo. We're going to be talking a lot about Bong Dazzo later.
Because, he's just like talking about bongs.
Yes. Well, I love Bong Dazzo.
Dr. Bong and Bong Dazzo. Yeah. Those are the bongs.
It's like Dr. Gonzo. He's the main writer in... Or, I'm sorry, main artist in Merc with a Mouth. Just a couple things I'd like to touch on when I read, going down the list, Dak and Dark Wolverine. I'm confused, but intrigued still, sort of, but it's starting to... they're doing a build again with Dakin, and I don't know...
Dakin. Remember Dakin.
Like
we were educated on this. It's pronounced Dakin.
Dakin. But I don't know if... It's just really hard to tell where Daniel Way is going with the writing on this. So, American Vampire, great series. I like what Scott Snyder does. I'll keep buying it. Secret Avengers, Brubaker.
Oh, well, actually, I want to go back for a minute to American Vampire. I'm actually several issues behind. You know, they're on my stack of stuff sitting there, but. I have to say that through it all, I enjoyed Snyder's main story more than the Stephen King backups. And everybody for the longest time was like, oh, it's Stephen King, he's writing for DC, he's writing for Vertigo, this is Stephen King's blah, 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 whatever. And I was just kind of, after, I'd say maybe four or five issues, I was just like, I don't really care about the Stephen King story anymore. I like the main story that he's putting together.
And I really like the art. And, you know, I always talk about the art and the writing, how it ties in. And they do it really beautifully with this title.
It fits the title well because it can be...
Santo Luco. Mateus
Santo Luco.
He is the artist on this.
Big Potato. But yeah, it's like sometimes it can be kind of gritty feeling, and sometimes it can look very crisp
and
sharp.
It's a new take on an old idea of vampires, going back to what you talked about, where, you know, vampires are actually originally quite hideous critters, you know, that are trying to, you know, feast off of the living, and then there's this new breed of American.
Which is kind of funny, because there's a story called Ides of Blood from Vertigo, or from Wildstorm.
The first few issues.
And it's a similar type of idea, but of course set in Rome.
Right. Secret Avengers.
I kind of gave up on that one.
I'm not. I like it.
I mean, I still have all those issues sitting there, you know, but it's, I think after about three or four, I just kind of, just kind of lost my, I think part of it also of Secret Avengers is Nova, because I really like Nova's book.
Gone.
Yeah, and now it's just like,
right. No more Nova. I know you were excited when Nova was going to be a part of it. Brightest Day, I finally finished Blackest Night while I was reading Brightest Day, so it all started to make a little bit more sense. And I still am not fond of Aqualad. I know we talked about it before. I see where they're going with it, but issue 16 could have been erased from the memory books. And,
yeah.
The Reverse Flash Rebirth. I am a huge Flash fan. I really like Flash.
You're wearing your Flash shirt again. and actually, I forgot you've got the Flash banner poster over
right
there.
Here. Jeff Johns.
For issue one, yeah.
But there's a lot going on here with the new Flash series. The Reverse Flash is back. Issue 8 here is basically a build of, you know, for anybody that doesn't know who the Reverse Flash is, it's a good starting point. So,
you know, and I've got 6, 7, and 8 of Flash sitting there I still need to read.
It's a great series. You should go get issue 1 if you haven't gotten it yet. I enjoy it. Nemesis. Man, how long did it take for him to come out this last one?
Not as long as, like, Kick-Ass.
It felt like a year.
It's a long time. I mean, for a four-issue series, it's taken almost all year for the
four issues.
I'm not going
to talk about it too much, because I don't want to spoil it for you, but great ending, and it's a surprise at the end.
All right.
Go figure, Millar has a surprise at the end. And then right into the next Mark Millar Superior, kind of trugged along a little slow for me the first issue or two. I understand he's going with a brand new platform on this, but the end of this one also had a nice sinister twist. I love Millar's sinister twists. He just makes you feel so dirty at the end.
I should get you into Invincible and, or not Invincible, Irredeemable and Incorruptible.
I think I read like Irredeemable up to like, I'm like stuck in the middle somewhere. I like picked up a few issues, but I don't get it. So I need to start from the beginning. Batman Annual. And then the latest Fantastic Four. I can't talk about any of that because you haven't read it. So that's what I got, folks. That's just what I read like the last
couple days
of my vacation. Still got about a half a dozen to go through before I get through this week's.
You know, I do have to admit, I haven't not been reading comics the last couple days, but I've been catching up on some other stuff. So, here goes all of my credibility, right? Mickey Mouse and Friends,
wow.
302, I think it was. Donald Duck and Friends, was it 591? Something like that, where it's Kung Fu Donald Duck in the Orient. So that was pretty good. I even hate saying it, like I shudder saying it, but Betty and Veronica. You know, I read all the Archie books. I still get all the Archie books, and I talk to, every time I go to Wizard World or C2E2. I talk to all the Archie guys and get a sketch.
Are they as big of fans of Archie as like I am of Deadpool, or...
Yeah, I mean, everybody who works...
I mean, they got it going.
That's their dream job for most of those people there. They were like, I grew up, you know, reading these when I was a kid. I wanted to get into comics, sent some stuff around, and I thought, you know, hey, I like Archie, I'm going to try for Archie, and they got jobs at Archie, you know. I mean,
well, maybe it's my problem that I just can't pick up a book and read it.
But, so, you know, I've been reading those. I also read, oh, man, what was... my son really likes Sonic, so we've started reading the Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic Universe books.
I've been keeping those...
Copies of those
set aside.
you know, just because, you know, I grew up with Sonic. I get it. Is it, like, based off the video game?
Yeah, or
is it,
yeah, okay. They are. And I mean, it's one of those things. They did a free comic book day handout last, I think it was last summer, that was basically the whole history of the Sonic comics. So if you hadn't read them at all, you could read that book and basically be brought up to speed. Down. Because it is, you know, they've done 200 and some issues of Sonic the Hedgehog, and it all ties together. You know, like, it's all one big ongoing story. It's not broken up and, you know, random. So anyway, kids' books. Last couple days, I've been reading a lot of
That's
kids'
okay.
books.
Yeah,
so there you go with that. I'm waiting for the new Incredibles.
I'm surprised I got any reading in trying to get this basement done in time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look what... I mean, you only did...
It was worth it.
Do what, huh?
It was worth it.
Huh?
Huh? What?
Like, I'm in a Jiffy Pop.
It's well insulated, sir.
That is insulation. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this first segment, so we're going to take a quick commercial break.
We're going to talk about North 40.
Are we?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You positive? That's what you want to do?
That's what I want to do.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on the Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey, you like that sausage?
It's good.
All right, folks, we are back here at Comaholics, episode, I'm guessing, 7?
Mm-hmm. This is 7.
Are you sure it's 7?
It is 7.
Because I don't even know anymore. I don't even... whatever. You're lucky I was sober enough to drive over. I don't know how I'm getting home.
Hopefully we got some listeners that, you know, they're like, yeah, oh yeah, 7. Yeah, it's 7. They knew
it. Yeah, of course it's a Comaholics 7. You guys, I have every... I memorized every episode... I can recite it for you right now. Actually, I'm going to crack open a brand new blue ribbon here.
I got the beer buck. How can he complain?
Complain about what? Who's complaining?
About the furniture.
Who's complaining about the furniture? That wasn't on the air, so it didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how radio works. So, pouring this Pabst Blue Ribbon into my glass here. Let's talk about North 40.
Well, Wildstorm.
Oh yeah, for the sake of full disclosure, this was a review copy sent to us by Wildstorm, so thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so North 40 was a 6-issue miniseries collected here in one trade paperback.
Aaron Williams is the writer, and Fiona Staples is the artist.
Yep.
Right off the front of the cover, it says that. It's terrifically violent and offbeat, strong characters, and phenomenal art. If this book plays its cards right, it could be the new Walking Dead. What do you think?
Well, that's kind of setting up an expectation.
No, all right, if they're going to put that on the cover,
well that's who
the
said
first
that?
Thing I'm going
Who
gonna...
said that? Newsarama. Okay, well, that's your first problem right there. It's Newsarama. I mean, come on. Well, here, you start. You start.
I thought the artwork was clever.
I really enjoyed the artwork.
Yeah.
It
had that real dark...
What was I saying? It has a very realistic feel, even though it's still highly stylized. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, when you look at that artwork, you're not going to confuse it for being photorealistic. But there's something about it that just resonates as being real.
And it's got that kind of, this is real, this is what's happening, but there's also like this like dark Book of the Dead Cthulhu thing going on, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the story.
Right.
But I just like how the artwork tied into okay. that and expressed it, you know.
Yeah, this is a Cthulhu story.
Right.
And actually, I was going to say, what is it with Cthulhu coming back?
I don't know.
I mean, it used to be like zombies was the big thing, and now it looks like Cthulhu's the big thing. Necronomicon, or Neonomicon, and this, and Boom Studios is doing a Cthulhu series, and just like that's going to be the new zombies.
Here's my problems with it.
Okay. Well, first of all, did you enjoy it?
I had trouble getting through it. It was
really?
It was painful for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I find that kind of surprising.
Yeah, I actually didn't enjoy this very much. It was kind of confusing. There's, you got about, I mean, right off the top of my head, three different groups of villains going on here.
Okay.
There's no clear path as to what the agenda of this title is. Other than this town, these two bored townies read this Book of the Dead, so to speak, and unleash hell on this town within its city limits.
Okay.
And
okay, I think you missed a couple things. I think there are some criticisms of the story. I think the opening issue was too hectic. There was too much jumping around, too much time lapses.
Right.
Like, it really had this feeling like, okay, something happened, and then boom, it's nighttime, and then boom, it's the next morning, and then boom, it's the next afternoon.
And then everybody's...
Yeah, and it just kind of jumped around from character to character to character, and it... I mean, to be fair, it did show you everybody, and it really kind of, like, well, here's everybody there, and here's what happened to them. But at the same time, you don't really understand, like, what's their relationship with each other, why do you care, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So... I think the first issue really did jump around too much, and it was too hectic. And I think hectic overall was the problem with the entire series. It was 6 issues long. I think it should have been 18.
Right.
You know? I think they should have spaced it out more. You could have done an ongoing series based off of this. And the end of issue 6 could have been, the morning when they wake up. And the whole world has changed for him. But I think there are a couple things that you miss from the story. Like, the two bored kids find an ancient book from the town.
From, like, the local college.
Right. And it's because, as you find out later in the story, that people tried to open this portal into the other dimension before, in the times of the Civil War. And so...
Yeah,
that's why the book is there.
There's a small flashback.
Yeah, they do a flashback. And one of the kids who opened the book, when he started to realize what was happening and was, imbibed with that power, he realized it was a problem, and he's the one who created the barrier at the county line. So that's why it didn't escape outside.
He's the good guy. He's the one that's like trying to create the superheroes, and she's trying to create the demons.
Right, right. But, I mean, yeah, I did feel like it really needed more room to breathe.
I felt like they were trying too hard to try to get their point across in a rushed, confusing way. That's how I felt
about it. Yeah, like, it really needed a lot more time. It really needed a lot more...
Like, I like the kid's dad that was, like, the Earth... Like
yes.
It was becoming part of the Earth.
Well, that was one of the things, because at the end of the first issue, he walks back in his house, and the dad's body is sitting on the couch, and it's got, like, the little sprouts
like
of grass or whatever.
Into, like,
yeah.
compost.
But it's like, you don't really realize that until you're reading, like, another issue or two into it, whenever those bullies come to attack him, whatever. So, I got to the end of that first issue, and I'm looking at that drawing of his dad sitting there on the couch, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Right.
Is he dead? Is he alive? Is he a zombie? Like, I don't get... Like, I can see the image of him on the couch drawn in front of me, but I don't know what I'm looking at.
It's almost like if they were to stretch this out, they should have had, like, at the beginning of each issue, like, an encyclopedia of the different demons and monsters that were going to be in the story. Because, like, for example, like, you've got these, like, these weird octopus-eyed bird-faced guys.
Right. They're grabbing all the animals.
Right,
and
yeah. And just...
there's too much going on. I understand that basically hell is unleashed, and basically anything goes. So, I mean, they're definitely, they gave themselves the that creative license to kind of just go wherever they want with it, but...
Well, and that was another thing with characters...
That's my point. I think they kind of went everywhere with it.
And characters would just kind of appear, and, like, the sheriff would shoot them, and then, like, I don't know, like an issue later or something, they were like, wouldn't Frank be mad? It's like, well, I put a bullet in his brain an hour ago. Yeah. And it's like, oh, so he's talking about that guy.
Right.
I still don't know who that guy was.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I thought the dialogue was great. I thought the
really I felt like the I thought that the writing style for the hillbillies
I thought it was
not that great.
I thought that was that to me. I that's
felt like,
how they
it felt like a guy sitting in L.A. trying to be like, okay, I'm going to write up what hillbillies would say.
I think that's what they would say.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, my I don't know. I have family that comes from deep southern Illinois, Kentucky area, and so that to me that sounds about right. Like, you gonna have corn for dinner? I reckon. You know, it's just, that's, I mean, people do talk that way.
Okay. And then the whole junkyard
robot guy thing. That's the one that kind of, like...
It's like, what's the point?
Apparently the guy ran a junkyard, but then decided to become a drug dealer, and now he can build giant killer robots, and I'm not sure exactly...
But they ran off of people.
Yeah, he put...
Like souls,
people parts in these robots, and yeah, and see that's part of the thing. It's like that could have been a whole issue of that guy tinkering with robots, trying to get them to work, experimenting until you know. And again, it just kind of felt rushed. Like this felt to me, if you were going to take a mini series and condense it down to a 90-minute movie, as opposed to like 2 hours a night over 5 nights during the week, like they used to do on like NBC and ABC, those big epics. Like, if you were trying to take one of those giant shows and make a 90-minute movie out of it, that's what this is. Because I think there's some neat characters. There's some great concepts. I like the idea of the Civil War-era gun, and the lady, you know, puts the magic in it, and he's shooting the like the barriers out of it. And I liked the... who is the guy... Of course, now I can't remember like who some of the characters were, but anyway, I just thought there were some fun characters in here. I liked the people. I thought the way they talked was fine. You know, I thought it fit with the area where they were at.
Oh yeah, the giant octopus monster guy.
Yeah, it's like he opens. Well, no, there's the one guy.
That used to be where the library was.
Well, it's like one of the bully guys. Like, he gets out of the car and suddenly he has octopus legs.
Right, yeah.
And he's just like, oh.
And I do like the big, tall monster guy. He's got the worst accent of them all. Like, you know, they make him, like, basically Cro-Magnon Monster Man. He's great.
That guy right there.
Yeah.
It's like, he didn't have octopus legs before. And now suddenly he does. So it's like he's slowly changing until, of course, he gets a giant car dropped on him. But,
Here, if they want to be the new Walking Dead, they better start learning how to crawl first.
Well, they did. They did open, like they left it open. The ending. There are, you know, a bunch of different ways the story can go. There's the girl who goes to wander off across the world to bring more souls there. You've got the conflict between the two kids who set up the whole thing in the first place.
The color that they did. You know, they're always like green.
Glowing and green. Yeah, and the people who are infected by them have the green glowing eyes.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in here, but like I said, these six issues felt to me like they should have been 18. Like there's just
and then I forgot the whole character
with the scythe and yes. Yeah.
See, like I said, there's too much going on here, and I doesn't flow well for me, and to put it in a trade like this. It was hard for me to get through it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's tough. Like, I can't say I didn't enjoy it, because I know I'm going to think about this book again. I'm going to think about these characters. I'm going to think about this world. I'm going to think about this town. I'm going to think about... Like, I want there to be a sequel, because I want to know what happens, but I want them to take their time with it. If they come up with a Volume 2, Volume 2 should be an ongoing series.
Right.
You know? No more of this six-issue stuff. because that's it was just too limiting.
Let's put it this way. I thought there was only 5 issues, and I stopped at 5 and then found out there was 6 and wasn't all that moved. So, I know, I tend to be harsh sometimes, but...
Well, yeah, and that's kind of another thing, is that they open up this pit to the other world, the giant octopus monster comes out,
right.
They're fighting against it, they finally beat him, mm-hmm. and then they go, oh yeah, there's those 2 other people we got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it slipped their mind, it slipped our mind too, because we didn't see them for an issue or 2,
you know?
It
was that writing style sleight of hand we talk about.
Yeah. Where it's just like, it's like he forgot about it, you know?
Right.
You know, just as they did. So like I said, I enjoyed it. I can't say I didn't enjoy it, and I can't say I didn't like the characters, because I did. I did a lot, but it's just, I almost want them to redo this. Like, take this and set it aside.
And the start from one
again. And start from one again, and just let things take their time. To work themselves through.
Or, you know, it'd be a nice twist. Do it this way. Start from one again, but have some outsiders somehow get in the city.
And well, and if given then enough time.
Could, yeah, then they could do it from the perspective as
right, because,
outsiders looking in.
Right, because, I mean, this, like I said, this took over the place of like a couple days. You know, like it was pretty hectic moving. And the first issue or two, it was just like, boom, 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 morning, afternoon, evening, night, next morning, next afternoon, and then,
right.
Then it kind of slowed down and you got, like, the whole, like, the first 2 issues are like 2 days, and then the last 4 issues are like the rest of that afternoon. So... All right, so there you have it with North 40.
What was the cost on that one?
This is $17.99.
Ouch.
$17.99.
Okay, folks, I'm going to tell you. If you got the extra money and you just want to read something different, interesting, because, you know, that's what this show's about, is stuff you probably wouldn't normally pick up.
I would say if your store is having a sale, like 50% off trades,
sure.
Or if you're at Wizard World or
C2E2, which is coming up here, folks.
Right, and you've got one of those, all books, $5, all books. Then go over to their booth and find North 40, because for $5, it's worth reading.
Right.
You know, half off, it's worth reading. $17.99, it needed another coat of polish.
Yeah, it needed like a compendium along with it or something.
But
master's
yeah.
sketch work.
Yeah, so it's, it's a missed opportunity is what it feels like to me. I wanted to like it a lot more than what I eventually...
Well, unfortunately, in the comic book world, there's all sorts of missed opportunities.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for North 40, so we're going to go ahead and take another commercial break, and then when we come back...
Guess what, folks? Guess what? My favorite.
This is the Apocalypse's, like probably your second or third favorite comic series of all time.
Most definitely. Deadpool, Merc with a Mouth. If you ain't got it, you're going to want it after this.
1-13. So, we'll be right back to talk about that.
What's up, all? This is Sween Hollick from Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you're listening to a Primo Pop Culture Network podcast.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
Are we back?
How's your hot pocket?
It's good.
What kind of hot pocket you got?
Pizza one.
What kind of pizza?
It's like ham.
Got pepperoni in it or sausage or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. It's better
than meat.
Matter.
It's in a hot pocket.
I like a meat in a hot pocket. I got ham and cheese.
Oh, look, there's some Fresca there, too. So,
hot pockets and Fresca.
Why would we be drinking Fresca and eating Hot Pockets?
I don't know, but here comes your wife with glasses with eyes in them.
First choice, the frozen glass.
Ooh. A nice frozen ice mug. Oh, there's some ice stuck to the bottom of this one.
Look at Say hello to everybody in the comic book world. She was supposed to be reviewing North 40 with us.
But someone didn't finish their homework.
Nope. She's not allowed in the club anymore.
No girls anyway.
That's right.
Where they have cooties.
Intimidated and scared.
So Fresca and Hot Pockets.
So think, viewers, listeners. I would say viewers.
Well, they have to watch their computer screen, right?
Why would we...
You want me to pour you some Fresca?
Yes. Thank you. Be eating Hot Pockets, drinking Fresca.
Because we really want diarrhea in the morning?
That's answer number two.
That's answer number two.
No, okay. We're celebrating one of my favorite series, something that I really enjoyed collecting. One of my favorite superheroes.
Is this one of the comics that like really got you hardcore into reading comics?
Yes, actually, I think it was. It was one of the biggest titles that I was like super excited to collect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, those folks that you know have been with us since Comiholics 1 know that I'm a newbie. We're a couple years old now,
right?
So I'm just learning how to walk. I'm a 2-year-old.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Deadpool. Merc with a mouth. Boy, he loves his Fresca. And he loves his Hot Pockets.
Deadpool and Merc with a mouth loves Fresca and Hot Pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So in his honor, we're going to put our bodies through this. And here, let's clink our...
Fresca.
Fresca. You know, that'd be good with, like, some vodka in it, or some rum, or something.
Actually, I got some vodka. We could do some spiked Fresca.
Oh, this Hot Pocket's still frozen in the middle.
It's okay.
Yeah, feel that piece of ham.
No, I don't want to touch it. How gross.
Yeah, frozen ham is kind of gross.
Well, I could throw it back in the microwave.
Where's your crisper sleeve?
I didn't use them.
Yeah, obviously you didn't use them. That's why they come in the box.
I was trying to hurry. You know, in between segments.
We can pause the show.
Oh.
Obviously.
We're not in real time?
No.
Oh, okay. How about now?
This isn't
live... real time now?
Well, we are.
Oh.
This recording is not.
And the people listening, they're not really in real time.
Well, they're not
people.
They're
like in later time.
No, they just don't exist.
Oh.
Nobody listens to this show.
Well, for those that don't listen to this show, welcome back. We're going to be talking about Merc with a Mouth.
No, I don't mean they don't listen to the show like we don't have regular listeners. I'm saying nobody is listening to this right now.
Oh.
Not one single human being is ever going to hear this recording.
When will then be now?
Never.
Oh. Okay. Well, for all those people that aren't listening...
Oh, you bought some of these back issues, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Got them all here.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know you didn't buy 1 and 2 new.
No, you helped me get these.
Oh, okay.
Because I think I started with... No, I started with 1, and you found me 1 and 2. Actually, I'm trying to remember when I actually started collecting... Real time.
Right. As it was being released. Okay, so...
It could have been after
Let's talk a little bit. Deadpool, Merc with a Mouth, it was a 13-issue series. From what I've been reading, it was actually always meant to be a miniseries. And the idea was it was going to go, and then it was going to morph into Deadpool Core,
mm-hmm.
which it did. But Deadpool Core would then kind of take over its spot. And then Deadpool Core... was sold to Rob Liefeld as a 12-issue series.
Okay.
So when word came out 2 months ago that Deadpool Core was getting canceled, Rob Liefeld was like, what are you talking about? It was always meant to be 12 issues, you know? So Deadpool...
How many issues are we on for Core?
For Core? 10? 9?
I don't know. It's upstairs.
So anyway. So this was a This actually went 13 issues, and every cover, I think, is a takeoff of a movie or album sort of cover or...
So this is a challenge,
now,
right?
Yeah, I gave you some homework. Did you do your homework?
No, I didn't do my homework.
What?
We're just going to wing it.
Gonna wing it?
Nope.
All right. Well, first of all, explain to everybody what I told you to do.
To try to come up with what all these covers were representing. And it's different genres of pop culture. It's either like a record cover album or a movie cover. Mostly movie covers. Yeah, mostly movie covers. Some of them are very obvious and some of them are a little discreet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start from the back and go to the front.
Because we don't know what number one is?
No.
No, let's just start number one. Number one...
I'm thinking like Land of the Lost or some...
I'm thinking some sort of Conan. 50s. I'm thinking like a Conan type deal, because you got the woman down at his feet, and he's holding up the severed head.
The dinosaur. It could be Conan.
He's got the sword in his hand, so I'm almost thinking some sort of Conan type thing. The
second one's definitely Jaws.
Uh-huh.
Third one is...
Hey, wait, hold up. Everybody listening right now, go to comicvine.com.
Ugh.
All right, now that you're there.
Whoa.
In the search box, type
that
in...
That was the Hot Pocket.
Deadpool Merc with a Mouth. Okay, now you got it. But it'll load up there on Comic Vine with all the different covers. So you can look at the covers along with us if you don't already own this series.
It's like, yeah, the remember the records? The Star Wars records? When you hear R2-D2 beep, then go to the next one. All right, so the third issue... I knew it. I forgot it.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk through.
Oh, this is...
Dawn of the Dead!
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, the original good one.
Okay, and then the next one's Scarface, issue 4. Issue 5 is Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
6 is Aliens, or Alien.
Yeah, actually, I think it might be Alien.
7 is Usual Suspects.
There you go.
Yeah. 8 is Land of the Lost.
No.
Barbarilla.
No.
It Conquered the World. Where, like, they had the monster. No, it was the ice cream cone.
1 million years BC.
Oh, okay. Issue 9 is The Graduate.
Uh-huh. If you look up in the corner,
yeah, it's got the Graduate.
Zombie Deadpool with the motorboard head on.
10 is...
Now, this is...
I think it's Wolverine.
Yeah, this one. This is where it deviates from movies and starts doing comics. Because this one is based off Wolverine number 1, when Wolverine got his own... Is this the first ongoing series, maybe? It's the one where Wolverine is sneering directly at you, and he's got one claw popped, and the other hand is doing the, like, come here with his finger, right. The beckoning. So he's doing that, except he's got a fork, spoon, and knife in his hand.
11 is Last Samurai?
No! No, that's actually a comic called Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah, I would have never...
About a samurai who finds a baby.
Who's got it in a shopping cart?
No. No, that's the Deadpool take on it. Okay. It's putting the severed head in a shopping cart and carrying around with him. But that was Lone Wolf and Cub.
Oh, yeah,
nice try, though.
I would have never guessed that one. 12 is Nirvana Nevermind album cover.
So this is the album cover riff.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm
surprised they didn't have the unedited, like, naked Deadpool.
With a tiny little baby penis
yes,
on there.
Chasing the taco in the pool.
And so kind of like the Weird Al cover, where Weird Al's going after the donuts.
And then 13.
Back to movies.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs.
There you go.
I got most of them.
No, you did all right.
I had time to
guess. I mean, if you were like...
So if anybody, come on, help us out here, can guess what issue 1 is, because I think that's the only one we struggled on.
Yeah, that's the only one I don't...
Conan is... The color kind of reminds me of a Conan cover. Like, you know how they would do, like, movie posters, but they wouldn't actually do the actors?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It kind of reminded me of one of those from Conan. But
right.
It was a pleasure collecting this, so it's going to be really hard for me to be critical about this series. So I'm counting on you to help me out on
that
end.
What did you like so much about this series?
Well, remember I was talking about earlier in the
show? No, I don't remember. I really don't.
Earlier in the show, I talked about how I liked how the main Deadpool title sticked with the format of the character of the superhero. Did you just bite in like a lava hot part of the Hot Pocket, or was that the ice cold? I couldn't tell the look on your
actually,
face.
Actually, it was pretty mild, but it was like all gooey cheese. There was like no meat in that section.
So you were nervous?
So I was just kind of like
is this really hot? Or, yeah, okay.
Or did I just get gooey ham?
Well, issue one, I mean, we'll start from the very beginning for me. Issue one,
that's a very good place to start.
Yeah, and then go to the end.
Right.
We have time. We've been making good time on this show, so I got time to embellish. Issue one starts off with AIM hires Deadpool to go to Savage Land to retrieve a weapon.
A bioweapon.
A bioweapon before Hydra gets it.
Right. So one terrorist group hires a mercenary.
And right from the beginning, you've got his multiple personalities starting on page two. Daredevil's personalities.
Daredevil?
Did I say Daredevil?
You said Daredevil. You
wow,
said
Deadpool. Deadpool.
Have another drink.
Deadpool's personalities jumping out on the page. It's just sheer ridiculousness from the very beginning where they shoot him out like a cannon out of the life
like an
pod.
Escape hatch.
Yeah. right into Savage Land.
Now, what is a Savage Land for people who are unfamiliar?
Well, it's a land that exists on Earth that is savage.
What makes it so savage? Is that where he does his radio show for?
Like all the prehistoric animals exist there. And
it's kind of like Land of the Lost,
right?
Basically, bunch of dinosaurs.
But it's actually a discoverable place. Where
and it's in, I think it's like in Antarctica or something. So it's like. In the middle of all the snow and the desolate wasteland, there's like this pocket of hot air, and that's where dinosaurs still roam the earth.
But, so. let's talk about our main characters in this. You obviously have Deadpool. Later on, you have Headpool.
And Headpool, as it turns out, is the weapon.
Right.
Like, they want to make a serum based off his zombie properties in order to use that as like a bioweapon.
And then you have Bill, AIM Bill, a.k.a. Bob.
The henchman.
Which, if you understand like previous Deadpool stuff and...
Well, no, it was Hydra Bob. This is AIM Bill.
AIM Bill, but right. It's Hydra Bob.
No, it's not like, Hydra Bob, it's AIM Bill.
They took Hydra
it's
Bob,
a completely
put
different,
it in a yellow outfit.
It's a different terrorist organization.
It's the same guy, folks. He just decided he wanted to wear yellow. So, and then your main bad guys shift throughout the entire story, starting with the Savage Land. You got the natives, the cave people. What's the name of the
bonus? Well, but they're also upset because Headpool ate some of them.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like they're really villains.
But they're cannibals, so they respect the Headpool.
Oh.
They worship the Headpool.
And it's worth noting, this is one long story.
Yes.
Like, this is one arc. So these 13 issues are one complete story.
I really enjoyed going back, because, you know, I collected these as they came out. And I was reading along with all the other titles piled up in my stack. So, although I enjoyed every single issue, it was great to read them back to back.
The one thing I didn't like, when I went back and read them, is the end. Because the end of the story is basically just the guy from Deadpool Corps.
It goes into Deadpool
Yeah,
Corps.
He just kind of shows up and he's like, oh, you don't get to go back. I'm taking you on a new story.
Which the
and
saddest part about that, the whole
is
thing
is... that Deadpool
is,
Corps sucks.
No, Deadpool never gets to, like,
oh, yeah, he's going to consummate with Dr. Betty. He and Dr. Betty were going to get it on.
Yeah, I've got a special place in my heart for Dr. Betty, too. In fact, I think that I was thinking about this when I was reading the series. I think they should make a compilation of all the booty shots of Dr. Betty throughout the series.
Well, and did you notice...
And make it one big poster.
Later on in the series, he meets another woman who is right. like a foil for Dr. Betty.
The scientist.
Veronica,
yeah.
So Dr. Betty and scientist Veronica.
Right.
Betty and Veronica. Dr. Betty is blonde.
Right.
And scientist Veronica does have long, dark yeah. hair. Yeah, yeah.
No, she has short, dark hair.
Well, it's like shoulders.
Yeah.
It's not long. Well, but it's not like, she's not like the Katie Lang haircut or something like that. It's like a respectable woman's haircut.
Yeah, so all you folks, all you women out there with Katie Lang haircuts.
Look, stop getting haircuts like 12-year-old boys, okay? There's
it's
a reason.
Not respectable.
There's a reason why 12-year-old boys have that haircut when they can't choose it for themselves and grown adults don't.
You know what, and I'd almost like to, like, put together all the Deadpool-ism pop culture.
Like all the references
yes.
that he throws in there?
Yes, it's rife with it. It's great.
It's kind of like watching Psych and all the 80s references they throw in on that show. But, so the storyline, basically, the zombie head, he rescues the zombie head, gets it out of there, mm-hmm. tries to get back to the AIM...
spaceship.
Space, orbiting space platform. Ends up, I think he ends up blowing up the platform, and they plummet back to Earth... Then he decides he's got to get the zombie head back to the zombie universe, but, like, they end up in the wrong zombie universe, and there's, like, another zombie Deadpool, and then they're trying to get back out to the real world. And, I mean, it's just, like, zany hijinks
right.
all the way through the series. Which, you know, for me, when I first, you know, started getting into the new Deadpool series, when I saw the first one that came out... I think just Deadpool number one of his new series that's still going. I read it because it was free. I got a free copy of it. And that's the only reason why I read it. Otherwise, I would have never paid it any attention. Because for me, I'm thinking Deadpool, I'm thinking Rob Liefeld, I'm thinking the X-Men, I'm thinking the mid-90s, and I'm just like, I don't... Like, why does this character... Like, well, why does Deadpool still exist? You know, it's like, why?
He is a phenomenon.
But that's not who he was back in those days of the X-Men. You know what I mean? He wasn't.
You almost wonder if he was a bet. If Deadpool, the character, was a bet, and they were like, okay, let's bring this guy back. Let's see what we can do with him. You know, build
right.
on what little there was. What I really liked about this series is the dynamic of not only Deadpool and his split personalities and his Pulo vision of life, which I adore, and sometimes I feel like sometimes I live my life through Pulo vision.
Is that the new The Dude Abides for you?
The Dude Abides, yes, the Pulo vision. there's basically... two big transitions in this story. You've got what happens in Savage Land.
Mm-hmm.
There's a short segment in space. And then you've got Zombie Universe. Marvel yeah. Zombie Universe, basically.
But it's like a different Zombie Universe.
It's pretty close, though. It's almost like they're trying to like say this is Marvel Zombie
Universe. But there's a Deadpool... A zombie Deadpool that's still the body and the head.
Well, because they went back in time right before he jumped through the portal.
But the other thing is, though, that in Marvel Zombies 4...
Right.
I forget who the character is, but he appears, and he's got zombie Deadpool's mask on. But zombie Deadpool isn't in the zombie universe anymore.
It's because they crossed the streams.
And that other...
They crossed the streams. He never crossed the streams.
And that other zombie Deadpool, they shot his head off. So anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, like cheesecake shots for you, Dr. Betty.
I'll tell you what.
Is this...
Bong Dazzo
is this,
draw
is this Bong...
a good, nice... A nice Dr. Betty booty.
Yeah, now, okay, that's one other thing. I didn't like about this is towards the end, they had other random artists
yeah.
who would come in and do like half an issue.
Well, the very last issue...
there's like three different artists.
The artist scene where they're in the swamp, they're still in the zombie swamp, mm-hmm.
it was very much like the artwork from... It kind of reminded me of...
Swamp Thing?
Swamp Thing, Alomar Swamp Thing, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I can see that. But at the same time...
It was like they did like a throwback style.
But it took me out of the whole...
Right.
Because it's like, this is how it's looked for all of these issues.
No, it's not the first time they kind of threw that around.
Well, no. I'm just using that as an example of how it's just kind of like... It jars you as the art shift. Because they also did... when he's traveling through time and goes into the alternate universes, and they had different artists doing each of those time periods, right?
Right.
So, like, there's a... Let's see, there's a part here where... Was it this one? Wait, now I'm starting to think... Am I thinking of Deadpool? What was the one where he went to, like, the Old West?
Well, no, that's this one.
The computer-generated world and the Old West and...
This is Merc with a Mouse 7, the Kaiser sells a Usual Suspects. This one was pretty trippy. He goes from...
Yeah, okay, yeah. This is the
yeah,
one. Yeah,
he goes to, like, the army guy Deadpool, the general Deadpool.
Right, and it's all computer-generated.
Right.
So it has this weird kind
Real
of look
bizarre.
To it. And I didn't like it. It just kind of took me out of it. I was just like, ugh, why am I looking at this?
Yeah, it's hard to take on. And then it goes from that into the Old West. No, right?
Yeah. I mean, it...
No,
the Rob Liefeld world first. Yeah.
Right, and then you're introduced to Lady Deadpool. And then... excuse me. And then from there, it goes into the Old West, which I love the ending in that, where he just turns to...
But again, it's like the artwork was different again in the Old West
right,
one.
Yeah.
And it's... The artwork in that, I don't know. It's just... It's very pastel colors and...
He shoots his own alternate...
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I like the story. I like the story that was in there. I just the artwork
and,
when they,
and I like the Liefeld artwork that was done with Lady Deadpool. You didn't like it, huh?
I don't like Rob Liefeld artwork.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like it was kind of funny. It was like, oh ha, we got Rob Liefeld to do it.
Right.
But you know, and I probably would have just like okay, whatever, and not really you know thought about it again. But the fact that whole issue was.
This was probably the most farce. They really took it out there with issue 7.
Yeah.
You know. And then 8 kind of brings it back together again.
Because 8, they end up back in the zombie... Isn't that where they end up back in the zombie universe?
8 is when he gets back into touch with... Dr. Voodoo interferes.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Voodoo interferes.
The new Sorcerer Supreme.
Yes. Which I like the zombie Sorcerer Supreme and how he went out.
Later on, later on in the series. So yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of weird stuff that happens in the book that really makes it interesting. Like I said, it's one long ongoing story, so you really can sit down and just enjoy. You can just enjoy this series. Like you don't have to buy crossover books into anything else. You don't...
No.
Even though the ending is just kind of like, oh, Deadpool Core, go read that now.
Well, Deadpool Core was already out.
Right. It was like on issue 3 or 4.
So if you're already collecting, you already kind of knew that it was coming. And you could tell, like, okay, Deadpool Core, you've got Headpool, Lady Deadpool, Dogpool, Kidpool.
Right.
So in Merc with Mouth, you don't have Dogpool and Kidpool.
Right.
Which are absolutely ridiculous anyways. And you could have taken those two characters out of
the
Deadpool
look on
Core.
Your face. Absolutely ridiculous anyways.
I'm sorry, Core needs to go. You
well,
know,
it is going. It is going.
Well, now they're voting.
No. The voting was a sham.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. The voting was just a sham.
As I say, I tried to do some research on
Deadpool
it.
Core, done. Deadpool Team Up, done. Both of those have, I think, like one issue.
So I was right. It is. They are done.
Yeah.
They're both done. And Team Up was hit and miss anyways.
Team Up had some really fun, really good issues, but then you get the next one, you're just kind of like, eh, whatever. I think the main Deadpool title is still one of my favorite. It's probably the only comedy book that I really enjoy, you know what I mean? It's like, I laugh out loud reading that one, and I don't think I do that with any other book.
Right. Well, that's what I like about Merc with a Mouth, too.
And, you know, what a great title for this, too. Because, I mean, it's, you know...
Well, that's his, been his little tagline for a while, anyway.
No, but I mean, they make sure his mouth is known in this title, you know?
A lot of dialogue.
Yeah, it's all dead.
And a lot of the recap pages are fun as well. Like, there's one where he's trying to get to the AIM space station. And it's like him and the two AIM soldiers are sitting in like the little pod flying
right,
up the station.
Right.
And they're like, so, what's been going on? Well, previously you had done blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. And then you were trying to get it on with this lady, but I don't think she ever had it for you. And he goes, oh, yeah, and then I forgot I shot that jackass with the smart mouth in the head. And pulls out his gun and blows the guy's brains out. And it's like, that's how you got your recap for what's previously happened in the series.
Well, the way they show Deadpool here is the way I see Deadpool when I think of him at his finest. And,
Well, this and the main Deadpool series.
Right. They could have continued on with Merc and like you said, change the ending and been like, okay, Merc's going to be another title. He's going to travel around with Deadpool and see what happens. And keep Dr. Betty.
Yeah, because we have no idea what happened to her.
No, she's just supposedly gone. Dr. Voodoo sent her back to where she belonged.
Yeah, and she's just gone.
And you know what I thought would have been funny is that they would have reintroduced Veronica when they did the Curse of the Mutants crossover.
Oh, I see. Because she did get turned into... Well, she got turned into a zombie,
but she got pushed off a building.
Well, yeah, but she was still a zombie.
Yeah, but still, it would have been... I don't know.
All right, well, anyway, that was a fun series. That's also one... I know there's at least one trade... I don't know if it's the whole series or if it's just like the first half and there's a second trade for the second half. But this is a series that's worth picking up. I mean, this is definitely...
This is worth going out and finding every single issue. Forget the trade.
And even if you're not... Because like I know a lot of people... You're going to have the same attitude I had when I first heard about Deadpool in the, you know, postmodern era of comics or whatever it is we live in. Where you're just like... This is Deadpool. This is a Rob Liefeld character. Came out of New Mutants in the 90s. You know, he's... When Rob Liefeld created a character, he thought, oh, a guy with two swords and a couple guns and a whole bunch of ammo packets all over his body. That's a cool idea. You know, and someone just said, well, that's stupid. Let's make him funny. And, you know, there you go. I didn't want to like Deadpool. And I found myself loving the character anyway. Mm-hmm. And Merc with the Mouth is one of those. I know you're thinking, oh, mainstream Marvel title. Ugh, why am I going to read that? Blah, 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 blah. No, just
and
read
normally
it.
We don't talk about the mainstream stuff, but in this instance.
We talk a lot about mainstream stuff. We cover other stuff too, but we did Superman Year One, we did Batman the Cult. I mean, you know, we've talked about.
And Bong Dazzo, I hope I'm saying his last name right. I'm sure Bong is the first name.
It's probably not Bong. It's probably like.
Bong.
Bajé.
I love what you did with Deadpool. And keep drawing Dr. Betty. I'm sure you draw him in your sleep, as I do.
Well, you know, if we're ever at a convention and we can meet the guy,
oh,
you'll have to get a sketch.
Yeah.
Cost you $150, but...
I don't know, I might pay it.
But I think Mr. Bajé would be more than happy to do it for you.
Oui.
There you go. Alright, so... Merc with the Mouth. Definitely worth checking out. North 40, if you can get it on a deal, go ahead, get it on a deal, you know. And then I guess that's really the big stuff we covered, isn't it?
Yeah.
We killed a lot of time talking about random new books at the beginning, so we're an hour deep into this show. Do you realize that?
It's not very far.
An hour deep into this show.
That's kind of a lean show for us.
Yeah, but in general, that's a long show.
You think so? It just, you know, it always seemed like there was more going on. DJ House will probably join us next time around.
Well, next time, probably Sword 3, right. Sword Volume 3. We'll talk about that trade. What else do you want to talk about? Anything in particular you want
Fresca.
To get into? Besides Fresca and vodka.
We're going to have to get some thought on that. You know, getting through the holidays, folks, I wanted to try to get another podcast out right away.
I mean, maybe Flash.
Ooh.
I mean, maybe if we... I mean, what's a good stopping point? 7? Do 1 through 7?
Yeah.
Maybe do Flash 1 through 7?
And also, there's that Emergency Stop I've been wanting, that I read that trade, I really liked.
Too. Emergency Stop?
It's called Flash, the Flash.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Done by Millar.
Yeah, but we need something, we need to throw in something, something more.
I know, we're going to think about it. There's
yeah, I know.
And
Some indie, something kind of hard to find.
Well,
we got to get our street cred back. I talked about Betty and Veronica, okay? I talked about Mickey Mouse and Friends. All right? I got to get some street cred back with the geek on the street.
Well, yeah. Well, let's
we'll figure something out, but yeah, if you haven't been reading Sword, make sure you pick those up because we're definitely going to hit three. And we'll probably talk about Flash and we'll figure out something else, so.
Most definitely.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to stop by the website, ineedcomics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. You can stop by our forums, find the comic book section, start up a conversation there. Also, if you want to, you can email me at dirt@popculturenetwork.com, or if you've got something else specific you want to talk about, you've got some sort of news tip, or if you're a company with a press release, you can send it to comicbooknews@popculturenetwork.com. Also, we have our 24-hour voicemail line. Feel free to call and leave us a message. You never have to talk to a human being. It's area code 217-953-4025. It's a 24-hour voicemail line. When you're drunk, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you want to talk about Shazam, feel free to call us up and talk all about it. I think there's a 10-minute limit, and it'll cut you off. But you got 10 minutes, go nuts. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. What were you going to add here?
I was just going to say, you got 10 minutes, so just say it really fast, and we'll just play it really slow.
So I guess that's going to do it for today.
Just remember, there's a big difference between kneeling down and bending over.
What the hell is that?
Figure it out.
I don't even want to know. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.